Well, the roller coaster ride continues, my friends. We thought that perhaps things would be better after the tumultuous campaigns, the conflicted campaigns, and every day there's news of some new scandal or violence or something to be concerned about. I love that Naomi Shihab Nye writes about knowing kindness, you have to lose things first. She had been to Central America and had taken a bus through Central America and had seen things she never thought she would see. A man taken off the bus and shot dead beside the bus. She knew that the kindness that came from the strangers when she and her husband lost their passports and they had no Spanish, and they went to see what they could do about losing their passports, and people took them in. And they had no money because they had planned on using their credit card. People who offered their home, a meal, a hand, a prayer, a breath. And she wrote this poem of kindness from that place of loss. All three of the readings this morning speak of habits of the heart, of ways that we can find that plumb line, that center that holds us in tumultuous times. And as she writes, kindness. The readings from Philippians this morning echoes the last 2 weeks' readings from the prophets Haggai and Isaiah. Haggai said, take courage. And he said it three times to a people who surely, surely needed courage. And we heard it. In the same way, I am with you, my spirit abides among you. Words from God to God's suffering people in Isaiah the following week, rejoice, for I'm about to create a heaven, new heavens and a new earth. Rejoice in a time of destruction and desolation and despair. Rejoice. Rejoice, knowing that there is goodness right in front of us, no matter how bad it is, and that more goodness is coming, that goodness is within us and around us and flows through us. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi gives sage advice for a church torn apart by internal and external conflicts. At the beginning of the chapter, Paul talks about relationship, the relationship between two women leaders who are fighting, Yodia and Syntyche, Yodia and Syntyche, not names you hear very often, but they were leaders in the church, and he counsels them to iron out their differences and make up that what we have in relationship with each other is the fiber that holds our life, that net that holds us when we fall, when we hurt, when we're desperate. His relationship, and he writes from prison and the horrors in prison, and he says, rejoice, even though he's in prison and has a death sentence. And he writes to these two women leaders, and yes, there were women leaders in the early church, and Paul writes to them and says, make up, friends. Get over it. Let go of your grudges. Get up and go on. So maybe he's talking about Republicans and Democrats, or maybe he's talking about Trump supporters or Clinton supporters, or maybe he's talking about those who voted and didn't vote. But let go of the names you're calling each other. Let go of what you assume happened, why people behaved the way they did. And look into their eyes and see God there, friends, because we need each other to survive. We need each other to thrive. Paul offers relationship as a tangible counterweight to the temptation of disconnection, of dislocation, of despair and futile thinking. Has anybody been there recently? Oh, yes. He gives us a formula that is very interesting, and I never saw it until this week, and I've preached this passage many times. He says, first, rejoice. Before anything, it doesn't make sense, but we're going to rejoice in what we see and what we don't see. We're going to call God out on what hasn't happened and expect for God to show up in our lives. Rejoice in God always, he says. Again, I will say to you, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Isn't that powerful? In a world where braggadocio and violent language and actions of power over competition, let your gentleness be known to everyone. This is a vulnerable church. We find our strength in our vulnerability. And when we claim where we are in this moment, we are stronger for it. Paul enjoins church members and us to rejoice, which are very surprising words considering they came from the horrors of prison. Even in his captivity, he reminds them and us that God's peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. I'm a Reiki practitioner, and in Reiki, there's a symbol, and it's kind of a spiral, and it's basically, these are not the words in Reiki language, but they're my words, God is here. And then there's another one that looks kind of like a dragon. It's called the dragon protector. And I love that image of the dragon protector, of the peace that surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. So in the days that come, if you need to put that dragon protector around your heart or around your whole body, as you sit down to a Thanksgiving table where there might be more arguments than usual, think of that peace that surpasses all understanding, that dragon protector. So he says, rejoice, and then he says, pray. Eugene Peterson's translation says, instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayer, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. How many of us have needed to be settled down a bit? Well, gosh, the holidays are enough to make us anxious often, right? There's so much goodness there, but there's also a lot of anxiety and sometimes dread. Pray always, pray unceasingly. What does that look like? It's not falling on our knees every minute of the day, but it's everything we touch and see, realizing the intimacy and intimacy of that, of saying thank you when you think about it, writing a T on your hand so that every time your hand passes in front of your face, you think thank you. Every time you look into someone's eyes and you see God there, saying to yourself thank you. And even if you don't say thank you, the simple act is a prayer. The meal you cook, the meal you serve, the dishes you do, sitting next to someone that you can't stand or has a different politics than you or a different ideology or religion than you is prayer, friends. Everything we do, and we can choose that path or we can choose the path of violence and anxiety and fear and growing hatred. Rejoice and pray. And then he says, focus. Barack Obama has something on Facebook that's saying, focus, focus, focus. Paul says, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Do you find yourself like I do with a litany of, oh yeah, well, have you read this or have you heard this or have you worried about that? Oh, you're worried about that's nothing. What about this, you know? Have you seen the Facebook memes, the posts that are, well, there's so many out there that are false. It's not real news. It's false news, and it's intentionally false news to rile us up, to keep us off center. Paul's words. Focus, friends. Focus, not Pollyanna. And I have a very dear friend who says she's a Pollyanna, and she's been saying that maybe she's lost her Pollyanna, but it's not saying be Pollyanna, but it's saying find the light and grow it. Focus. Rejoice, pray, focus, and then live your faith. Keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. A promise. Get up and do the next right thing, and the God of peace will be with you. Remember what you've learned here. Remember in your life of faith the steps you have taken that have taken you off the path and the way you got back on. Remember the teachings of the prophets and Jesus, and the God of peace will be with you. Stay connected. Rejoice. Pray. Focus. Live your life. And yes, there is the immediate reality of a world in which human beings are constantly at war somewhere, betraying one another, brutally suppressing each other in order to get ahead, and so forth. This was true of the Roman Empire, and it is true today. Every day we hear and see a culture that focuses on what is false, dishonorable, unjust, impure, and shameful. And we begin to think that to act hopefully in such a world is unrealistic. But Paul sees another reality, and it's the reality that holds the future. That reality is as of the still speaking, still acting God, already here and still drawing near. Paul promises that the outcome of these habits of the heart and mind are peace that surpasses all understanding. Written from jail by a man under threat of capital punishment at the hands of a brutal and corrupt regime, these are extraordinary promises. The so-called Pax Romani, Roman peace, was anything but for Rome's subject people. Tacitus, a Roman senator who served in Rome's far-flung provinces, wrote bitterly, "They make desolation and they call it peace." Paul sees a different reality alongside the violence and duplicity of the empire. His words ring true today as the world struggles with corruption and subjugation and violence. In the weeks and months to come, may we remember and live Paul's wise counsel. Stay connected, rejoice, pray, focus, live your faith. Amen.